Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I am doing well,
good.
As usual.
Yes.
But today's new and short. I don't know, man. Afternoon. Some people actually admit that it's weird times, and they're generally upbeat, and some of this stuff is depressing them.
Yeah.
And you know, when I think about that as a problem, And we have dealt with this, you know, and I remember a lot of bad history in the last century, in the 20th century, you know, when it came to wars and depressions and all these things. And yet, even before this recent episode with the virus and the lockdown and all this, I kept saying, you know, there's something about what's going on here that makes me really unhappy about it and concerned, but it's starting to come out. There's some structural problems, but so far they haven't touched on the real philosophic defects that are in the system that encourages us to do this. One in medicine and government, and you know, part of what we're talking about, we'll talk about today, is this combination of government being in control of medicine, and
yeah.
You have some good statistics on, you know, pharma, and more people are getting to know about pharma.
Yeah.
And if you ever noticed it, you know, we talk about the deep state, but there's a deep state is friendly too.
Yeah.
The pro free market people, holistic people, the people advancing in OB, for instance. When I went to medical school in the 50s, it says once a C-section, always a C-section.
Yeah.
Science knew about it, and you had to have it. But it was the midwives and other non-super university professionals that got that switched over, and they came around. And that's happened in medicine a lot of times. So this is something we want to touch on today, because there's a certain article, once again, the FDA is at it, and there's politics involved in this. Believe
okay.
it or not,
okay.
I know you won't believe
Shocker.
This. I'll try to convince you. FDA withdraws emergency authorization for hydroxychloroquine after HHS official makes request.
Huh.
Oh, well, it must be a bad drug, and we're saving lives, and they're in the business. Government's there, the FDA, and everybody else is to make it safe and secure.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously it has to be a bad drug, and that's what they've been arguing, that this is a bad drug and dangerous. Of course, there are some people who think that the main motivation against chloroquine right now is because Trump says, I take it.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
Yeah.
And now people, and it's hatred of Trump
yeah.
that is motivating all this. I really believe that is the case, because if they really wanted to know about chloroquine, they would go to you know, some good scientists, and there's plenty out there, but there's plenty of people, you know, average physicians who over the years have used this. You know, it became more popular in the 1940s, where it was refined better, and they used quinine, and they were the ones that experimented. It's accepted. It's now acceptable to use it for malaria, but not for coronavirus. That's a no-no. You
yeah.
can't use it for coronavirus. So this has been going on, but doctors on their own over the years have adapted. You know, they practice medicine, and of course, obviously, the main thing is a good physician is going to be very, very cautious if he's using it and it hasn't been well tested. And this is what happened over the years outside of the university system. And as the years rolled on, these last 10, 15, 20 years, it's been more of a collusion between pharma, medical care, payment of care, and this whole mess that we have. And I think if we'd have had a separation of medicine, you know, from government, we wouldn't be in this mess here, because it's so politicized. And I do believe that the people who are you know, prone to hatred, and Trump is prone to provoke it. That they're motivated totally by hatred, and they don't even care about thinking about it. So, and we can find other examples of this where it's just hatred toward Trump, and they'll switch if it's a policy that they have supported for 20 years, a Democratic policy for 20 years, and supercharged. Oh, Trump's for it. We hate it. But this falls, because people don't see it on the regular media, it falls short. But there's a lot more people now recognizing this. It'll be interesting to see how this pans out in this fall. The election, 3 years ago now, there were a lot of surprises, in the election. So who knows whether this hatred is going to carry the day or not. But right now, the hatred is toward using quinine or chloroquine. And we have to get Trump for him and punish him. And, of course, this is stirring up a lot of trouble. But don't worry, Daniel. There'll be another drug available. It might be out there, but it might cost a little bit more.
Yeah, that's the case. And really, this deranged hatred of Trump. We spent 3 years criticizing his policies that we think are bad for the country, but this blind hatred, it's just also so irrational, it doesn't seem very effective. But, so this kind of a sudden announcement that they're going to pull hydroxychloroquine from emergency use authorization came as a surprise, because we were just talking a few days ago about how these two so-called prestigious medical journals had to pull these studies because they were fake, showing that chloroquine was not good. But here's what the FDA said. New info, new data led the FDA to believe the drug may not be as effective, and the potential harm may outweigh its potential benefits, the potential risks. But here's two things and we saw a piece on Zero Hedge about it, but two really important things stand out about this decision. Three things, actually. First of all, how much of this is a hangover from that bad press it got from the two phony bogus studies? Second of all, the studies that the FDA and the HHS were talking about did not include the use of zinc, which I'm sure you know much more than I do about it, but the proponents, at least, claim it's key. We had our friend the doctor from Galveston who prescribed them together and said it worked very well. But the other thing is, the claims of harm related to the hydroxychloroquine were because when it was used with remdesivir, they believe that it lessened the effect of remdesivir. And you touched on this now, because here's something I looked up, Dr. Paul, because sometimes you just have to get down and dirty and talk about numbers. Hydroxychloroquine for a bottle of 60 tablets, $149. Remdesivir, they're still trying to do the pricing. Gilead, the big pharma that's making it, still trying to figure out the pricing. But the Institute for Clinical and Economic Review has suggested, based on the market, that the cost of the course of a remdesivir should be around $4,460. So $149, $5,000, we know which one's going to win out.
You know, if we had a free market, generally speaking, or a free market in medicine, which we do not, it's totally regulated. It's regulated by money and corporatism and the drug the drug companies. But this whole idea of how this came about, in spite of the evidence that chloroquine is a pretty good medication, it's not expensive. There's a lot of advantages to it. But it was the FDA that recommended to the HHS recommended to the FDA to do this.
Yeah, to pull it.
And I thought HHS is probably less medical than anybody. They're a bunch of bureaucrats. And then when you look into Azar, I think he's been involved in a little bit of drug dealing.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's not a bad term. there's a big money in this type of drug dealing, yeah. Maybe. And it's so honest. And it's you get holier than thou that we're saving the people. And you get people with a lot of money and have no money is not their thing. Like guys like Gates, they say, yes, we have to do this. But if we use this chloroquine, it's not going to work. But this Azar was a lobbyist for a pharmaceutical company. He worked in the industry, and you think there's, oh yes, they're saints though. They're very objective. They're not objective when it comes to what they're supposed to do as a public figure. At the same time, they're not very objective with science. And but you know what? I've run into more people now that I was surprised that they know the word big pharma. And that, again, where is it coming from? It's coming from average people who look for health from a more natural way. There's a lot of it. And I noticed over the years of the change, you used to have to find a health store to find the some of the materials, vitamins and all. And they were put out of business by big companies, you know, the big grocery stores. Yeah. But they did that because it was good.
Popular.
You know, they people want this stuff. Yeah. But they didn't do it, and the government didn't do it. The government, they more or less moved us in the wrong direction. They got involved in the financing of it, and they ended up running the hospitals and running the drug system. And there's so many people now involved in the corporate profits here, and I don't even think we should use the word profit. Sounds too mellow. Sounds like it's honest.
Yeah.
You know? But it's a shame. But this is a good example of some bad things happening in medicine, and really a struggle to get to the bottom of this. But every day, second wave, yeah. Get hysterical again, and maybe they won't believe it. There's some people aren't just buying into this thing yet on the second wave.
More of them won't. But you might say, okay, chloroquine, maybe some studies didn't show that it's that great, although as we point out the flaws in the studies. But, you know, chloroquine costs a couple of bucks, and remdesivir costs a couple more bucks. But remdesivir is not the miracle drug that they're claiming. And in fact, we'll look at our first clip. This came out a little while ago. There was leaked data from a key study back in April suggesting the potential for remdesivir is not that effective. So it also does not have a perfect record. But you touched on this earlier, Dr. Paul, and this is the issue of the revolving door. Between FDA, HHS, government service, and the so-called private sector. And I think we have the next clip up here, if we're not there yet. But there has been a lot. If you put this in your search engine, you know, those two words, revolving door and FDA, you're going to get a lot of articles. And I just looked at one, and these were two doctors at the Oregon Health and Science University, Dr. Paul. They did a study of FDA employees between 2001 and 2010 who were reviewing cancer drugs, and they found that 57% of these FDA employees later went on to work for Big Pharma. So it is something that happens, and you know, in fact, we talked about Scott Gottlieb the other day, who was a former director, the former commissioner of the FDA. Of course, he's a major pusher of this second wave hysteria. But, you know, back in March of 2019, he was a commissioner of the FDA, and he said, you know, I really need to spend some more time with my family. So he resigned. Less than 3 months later, he joined the board of Pfizer's, board of directors for Pfizer. His government salary went up to $330,000. In fact, Pfizer seems to ring a bell. Maybe we have the next clip here. What's Pfizer up to? Oh, yeah, Pfizer is developing the COVID-19 vaccine.
That's not true, is it?
But they're working on it. Here's their own website. And then you mentioned Azar, HHS secretary. He was a key player in getting chloroquine pulled from emergency use. Well, guess what? And you mentioned it, too. He wasn't even just a lobbyist. Look at this next one. He was the president of Lilly USA. What's Lilly doing? They're working on drugs to treat COVID-19. And it's not to suggest that these two individuals are personally corrupt, but it's to suggest that the system is corrupt and something's deeply wrong with it.
You know, this conversation would suggest there's some really bad things happening, deserving of an investigation. But where are you going to go with an investigation? You're going to turn it over to the Justice Department and turn it over to those people? Well, they investigated Russiagate real well. And once again, it was motivated by you know what rather than having justice at all. But there's a group that is trying to fight this from the private market section. That's the AAPS. That's the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. A very, very good group. And I was aware of them before, as I was in medical school. It was an organization started in the 1940s, and they've been hanging in there. And they do very good work on arguing the case for privatized medicine. Boy, that's a radical idea. But private medicine, doctor-patient relationship, keep the government out of it. And when I got my medical degree, I thought, I had the the AMA knocking on my door.
Oh yeah,
they do it. Join up. And even by then, somewhere along the way, I was warned in my brain, no, you don't do that. They're not the good guys. So I became a lifetime member of AAPS, and they filed a suit against this whole thing. And I think that, you know, that's the best we can do now is to file a suit and call attention to this. But the AAPS, I believe they're still located in Tucson, Arizona. If there are any physicians listening or you know any physicians and they're not aware of this organization, they really ought to join it. And there's no reason why, because a lot of it is medical, but a lot of it is also political, you know, how the private market can happen. And when doctors sometimes have been abused falsely for many things, they will help people in a legal matter. But it's worth looking into. AAPS, American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, and they have this lawsuit going, would say they have no right to, to deny the right of a doctor and a patient to decide to use a medication that's been used, especially since in the 1940s, and it's been varied for usage over the years. It's well known, and the worst part about it, it looks like it might work, and it looks like it would be very cheap, and people could afford it, and yet that turns out the reason they don't want to use it, in addition to poke fun at Trump or poke harm at Trump because he had used it.
Yeah, that seems to definitely be a factor in that. But, you know, as we're talking about COVID, here's something interesting, and this is another clip I was going to bring up, Dr. Paul. This is de Blasio, the illustrious mayor of New York City. He's worried that all those people were out in the streets. He was telling them to get out in the streets. He's worried that they might be getting COVID, so he tells his contact tracers, don't ask the positive cases if they attended the BLM protests. He doesn't want to factor that in. So, and you're seeing a lot of that out the country because you're seeing if there's any, on one hand, they want to tell us there's a spike, but they don't want to be tied to the protests, which they support, because then they will be culpable, you know, for part of that.
Daniel, excuse me, but it could work the other way. What if there were no cases?
Yeah.
That would hurt their statistics.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they do have cases, then they say, when we let them do it. So they're sort of in a bind there, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is my last segment, and this person is not as bad as Bill de Blasio. Let's not fool ourselves, but let's take a little look at what our illustrious governor here in Texas is up to. He's having a panic attack today because he's been telling us that the hospitals are full. But yesterday he was furious at these 20-somethings. Look at them, Dr. Paul. They're having fun at the beach. How dare they? He scolds 20-somethings for not wearing their masks and for taking coronavirus too lightly. And he said, so many more Texans in their 20s are testing positive. It's a real danger. In this article here, you look in this article, with all of the scare things up front, the 20-somethings are not wearing their masks. You go down a little bit further. He says they're not safe distancing, they're not wearing their masks. But then later on in the article, buried, of course, as usual, Abbott spokesman John Whitman said, the governor has heard about higher numbers of infections among people between ages of 20 and 29 from local health departments. He heard about it. Chris Van Denson, spokesman for the Texas Department of State Health Services, confirmed that, though he said numbers aren't available. Right? There's a huge spike. Everyone in their 20s is getting it. But we don't have any numbers. Here's what he said. We've been hearing from some local health departments about recent cases of people in their 20s. Too soon to have hard data. Okay, so basically Abbott was saying something he had no information on because he wanted to scare people. The last thing about Abbott, he's going to have an address today, and he's going to address the issue of hospitalization increase. It's a panic. The hospitals are full. What are we going to do? Well, if you look at the numbers for Texas, it's in fact, I think we even have those. here's the real numbers, and it's just the same as it was before, a couple of days bigger, but generally the trend is going down. But here's what's interesting in the article about Abbott addressing hospitalizations. I read down again, drill down past the headlines. Hospitals are full in Texas medical center. 76% of ICU beds at medical center is in use. Then a little further down, just 16% of those were COVID. So 16% of that 76. So this is what you said all along. These are people who've had to delay their treatments because of this ridiculous shutdown. That's why the hospital beds are full. They're finally getting their cancer treatments and other things they need. So Abbott, unfortunately, is trying to scare people, and hopefully Texans will have the good sense not to listen.
Yes, and how much sickness was caused by that lockdown, and how much money was lost, and people losing jobs and all. And, you know, Gates looks like he's probably feeling good about it. He'll be home free. He's going to get his, he's more interested. He doesn't need to make another buck, but he wants prestige and he wants to be king. And he knows what's best, and he has other ulterior motives that really could be very sick if they're true on population control. So, but it looks like that's the move, and unless we continue to wake up more people, and we are pleased that we are waking up more people. But you know, you showed the picture of people going to the beach and Abbott, but I saw something, and I think it was Zero Hedge. I hate to mention that name because everybody's going to flock to look at this picture. This was a picture of a real nice-looking woman, young woman, and what struck my attention was, of course, my eyes go there. And I decided that the irony here is that her face mask was a lot bigger than her bathing suit.
Oh, no.
this whole world is screwed up. So anyway, it's a shame, but we do need to, you know, sort it out, because I think one of the strongest terms that we can use that people know and understand now, and I've talked to with some of the honest, progressives, and they don't like the term either, and that is corporatism. You know, it's a little bit removed from socialism. It's socialistic. It can lead to pure socialism, but the Democrats don't promote, you know, pure socialism. It's their radical minority that's doing that. But corporatism is exactly what we talked about here today. All the corporations, whether it's the drug dealers and the hospitals and medical operations now, it's all large corporations, and it's profiteering from it. And there's nothing wrong with earning a living in the medical profession. But that's not what's going now. This is, you know, this example of the HHS secretary, who was a former lobbyist, is the one that, hey, fix this up. Let's cut out this chloroquine with the use of it, because it's bad for them. Yeah, sure. That's what happened. It's pure corporatism, and that means money made, and I consider that money, when it happens that way, it's illegal. It's illegal. It's immoral, and most people think it's very logical. Well, this is what we want. That's what government is for, and that's why you have to petition the government. You have to have lobbyists. But I don't think our founders ever visualized that protecting the right to petition our government would mean it would be a multi-billion-dollar industry or more, and everything has to go through the lobbyists, and those are the very, very wealthy people. And even in times like this, when people are losing jobs, the lobbyist firms grow because they need more people trying to get in on the list. And if you're not on the list, then you need another lobbyist or something else. So corporatism means it's a mixture of corporations that use government. And I remember after I had my first election, one of the very, very wealthy individuals in Houston was at a reception. And as we were leaving, he said to me, he says, well, Congressman Paul, he says, just remember that government and business have to be partners. And it sounded pretty benign, you know, get along and then you can build your highways and things like that. But he had a lot more in mind. And that is, it's not so simple of maybe a little bit of cooperation. It means partnership. It means corporatism. It means that the individual is destroyed by that. The individual rights aren't recognized at all. So I think those terms have to be recognized. And I also will continue to work on this whole idea. If it's a good idea to separate the church and state, and others have suggested the school and state, education state should be separated, what would be wrong with separating medicine? It's not authorized in the Constitution. Education isn't authorized in the Constitution. There's no authority to, matter of fact, there's a prohibition against monitoring and controlling churches. And look at how much controls there's been on the churches here in the last 3, 4, 5 months. That is a lesson they sent to us and said, we can do it if we want to. We can even close churches and scare the people to death, and they have to back away. So people need to be able to understand this and be stand up to them, because they're a bunch of bullies, and sometimes if you confront them with the truth, they don't know what to do. So I think we have truth on our side. I think we have prosperity on our side, and we certainly have the issue of peace on our side. So that's why I want to thank all of our viewers for joining us and supporting us in our effort. And I think promoting peace and prosperity is a pretty honorable thing to do. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.